Here's our Christmas message, by local, by Suffolk.
We've had such a great time talking to some amazingly talented people across the county, all of whom would love to see you this Christmas.
So without further ado, let's start our Suffolk Christmas. Welcome to our special Christmas editions of the Suffolk Pod Show. These shows are produced and managed by podtalk.co.uk. I'm Mark Mason.
And I'm Susanna Hornby. Christmas Part 1. Talking to Wicken Vineyards, the Woolpatch, the Suffolk Hamper Company, the Master Herbalist and Turnbull Turkeys. Up first, it's Sam Carlisle, who runs the Wicken Vineyards with his family. He's here to tell us about their extraordinary award-winning wines they grow and sell, as well as their new eatery and takeaway, the Moonshine Cafe. Welcome, Sam. Hello, Sam. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure. We drive past the Wicken Vineyards so often, and we thought we must get in touch with you because we're sure you have a huge offering for Christmas.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, it's a different Christmas this year, certainly, but we're very excited about all we've got planned for Christmas, and we're just fingers crossed that it'll all be allowed to go ahead.
Well, I think we're doing quite well in this area. As you say, fingers crossed. Let's talk about the Wicken Vineyards. It has an enormous history.
Yeah, absolutely. So as a site, it was mentioned in Doomsday, there's always been a strong community since then, you know, for well over 1,000 years. Mm. And there is some evidence to suggest that the vineyard that I'm looking at now, which was planted by my parents 31 years ago, sits on a site that the Romans actually had a vineyard on. So goes quite back into ancient history.
Gosh,
but it was one of the first, 31 years ago, it was one of the first vineyards that was planted in Suffolk, well ahead of the craze, which is now sweeping particularly the south of the country and southeast. And so we're very lucky to have some old vines that have been there a long time. And that makes a particularly deep and well-rounded, structured wine.
I mean, the estate itself is around 1,200 acres. And apart from the vineyard, you've got beautiful gardens and woodlands.
Absolutely. So what we've got is a working farm with a heavy emphasis on conservation and wildlife. And we've won various awards for the wildlife schemes that we've put into place. But at the heart of the farm is a diversification, which includes a restaurant and a shop and a farmer's market and a garden around the old manor house that is also open to the public for the spring and summer. So you can have a full day out, really. You know, we're 10 miles away from our nearest town, which is Bury St Edmunds. So if you come out for the day, you can walk around the gardens, perhaps walk through some ancient woodland to the vineyard itself, and then have a meal and taste some of the wines from the vineyard that you've seen.
Let's talk about those wines because they're beautiful. Let's start off with your award-winning wines.
Perfect. So we produce in most years, we produce two white wines, still white wines that we grow, a Madeleine Angevine and a Bacchus. The Madeleine Angevine is a fuller-bodied, slightly sweeter wine. And then Bacchus is our best-selling and most prestigious still white wine. The Bacchus grape has really found its home in England and suits the English soil type. Our soil type here at Wicken is a kind of sandy loam over chalk, which is quite similar to Alsace. And it's a the Bacchus is a grape which is a cross between the famous Riesling grape, which does very well in places like Alsace and parts of Germany, with another grape called Müller-Thurgau, which is another German grape, but not a very good grape on its own, but quite hardy. And actually that cross suits this soil perfectly. So we produce those two still white wines. And then we also produce our Wicken Moonshine, which is our sparkling wine. And perhaps what we're most famous for, it's called Wicken Moonshine because my mother, who was responsible for the vineyard, is from Mississippi. Smithy, obviously the home of moonshine, which is illicitly distilled alcohol. But we, of course, even though it's made in exactly the same style with exactly the same grapes as champagne, we can't call it champagne. Mm. So we called it Wicken Moonshine. And it's also very good. It has that great kind of toasty taste of a traditional champagne, but British sparkling wines also, because of the slightly cooler climate, have this incredibly racy, zingy acidity, which makes them really delicious and is one of the reasons they've been so popular over the years.
Gosh, it sounds absolutely delicious. You've also, apart from the wines, we want to talk, you've named your cafe the Moonshine Cafe.
Absolutely. So continuing the kind of Mississippi theme and bringing a bit of rural Mississippi into Suffolk. We were obviously, like the whole of the hospitality industry, pretty devastated by the lockdowns surrounding coronavirus. And it's obviously, apart from being hugely difficult and dispiriting, has spurred on some innovation. Mm. And what we've done is we've taken one of our old farm workshops, which is quite near the barn which houses the restaurant normally, and developed a whole side of it into kind of open air but undercover dining. And we've installed an amazing pizza oven. And so what we've started to do is serve drinks and this wood-fired organic pizza outside. In the summer, it was a huge hit because you could take your pizza and go into an apple orchard and spend the evening or the day there drinking some of our obviously some wine from a few hundred meters away and basically dine in a totally socially distanced al fresco way. And over the winter we've installed some heaters on the in the open area, and we've also got a number of fire pits and chimneys, and there are a few public walks around. And so even now you can take your pizza and sit on a bench if it's a nice crisp autumn day or winter day. And so we have been able to still operate throughout all of the lockdowns, which has been hugely a relief, really, because it has been very difficult, as everyone knows, for the hospitality industry. And I have to say, you know, as someone who loves a pizza myself, they have been hugely successful because they are so delicious. So we use locally milled organic flour for the bases, and the restaurant, which has a real ethos for using ingredients from the wider estate, that ethos has been taken straight into the pizzas. So we've had venison sausages from our woodlands, smoked pheasant breast as part of a pizza topping from the estate. We've used asparagus, which the farm has grown. So they're really interesting, innovative toppings, and they go very well with our wines as well.
I was going to say, I mean, what's not to like about stunning sparkling wine and a pizza? I just think it's such a clever idea.
Oh, well, thank you. No, it has been really interesting. And one of the things that, you know, it has also, I think you mentioned the history of Wicken and the community aspect. 50 years ago or 60 years ago, there were 45 people who worked on the farm, just farming. And obviously, as mechanization and industrializing of agriculture has happened over the last half century, the farming now is done by one person with some extra help at harvest. But because of the diversification, the vineyard, the restaurant, we now employ just as many people as the farm did back in the 30s and 40s. And actually, since COVID and the difficulties that we've all faced through that, starting this pizza venture has enabled us to retain most of our employees, and hopefully we'll be able to continue to do so.
We can buy all of your beautiful wine online.
Absolutely. So another innovation from the coronavirus lockdown was that we started to sell everything online. And so you can now buy our range of wines, and also we make a beer here using malting barley that we grow on the farm, called Good Dog Ale, and that's available online as well, alongside a number of other items from our country store. So our website is wickenvineyards.co.uk, and on there you'll be able to find everything. We deliver throughout the UK and can ship internationally on some items, sadly not the drinks. But if you visit the website, you'll see what's available.
Yeah. No, and it's a wonderful website, very easy to use. All the gifts are there, and indeed all the wines. And if we want to order pizza?
So you can come for lunch on Friday, Saturday or Sunday. It would be ideal if you went onto our website and booked it in advance, which helps us manage the flow of people at this time when socially distancing is still important. But any lunchtime on Friday, Saturday or Sunday, we do accept walk-ins. And at the moment, for the duration of lockdown, for Sunday lunch, we're giving a free Good Dog Ale, one of our house beers, for to everyone who orders a pizza. So it's the perfect way to have a stroll, get a pizza, drink a beer and spend the Sundays.
Sounds absolutely idyllic. Sam, thank you very much for telling us all about that. Wickham Vineyards, they're sort of on the...
We're on the Wickham Road, which is just off the A143 between Ixworth and Stanton.
Perfect. Well, thanks for your time. We wish you a very happy Christmas and we hope it's a successful one as well.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you too. And thank you so much for having me on the Suffolk Pod Show.
Oh, thanks, Sam. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
A Merry Christmas from the Suffolk Pod Show.
Next up is Stuart Race, owner of the Wool Patch Shop in Long Melford. Drama teacher turned wool and patchwork maestro, Stuart has some fabulous and very original gift ideas for this Christmas.
And here he is. Welcome, Stuart.
Hello. How are you?
Yes, we're both of us really well, thank you. And how are you?
Good, good. Well, I'm in my shop as we speak, sorting out some web orders. So I'm busy, busy, busy.
Now, the Wool Patch is in Long Melford.
It is, yes, a lovely wool town. There are about four or five wool towns. They call them wool towns, but because of its history, Long Melford, Lavenham, which you'll probably know, Clare, Hadley, we were famous, or we became wool towns because of the 16th century when the wool trade was huge here in Suffolk, and so therefore it makes sense to have a little wool shop. But wool and fabric. Mustn't forget the fabric. I'm getting so attached to the wool side. I often forget about the fabric. But yes, we're a little wool and fabric shop here in Long Melford.
Now, you haven't always been a wool and fabric man.
No, I was a teacher, would you believe, 4 years ago. I was a head of drama in a secondary school in Ipswich, and have been doing it for 16 years and loved every minute of it. But as you do, things change and things develop, and I also hit 40 and you start reflecting on life a little bit more and your priorities change. And I thought, do you know what? It's time to take a risk and do something different. And I'm often saying to the kids, because I was teaching drama and some of them were a bit nervous about going on stage, and I would say, look, just take a risk, because once you've done it, you'll feel really good and you'll feel amazed when we all give you a huge round of applause at the end. So I was often saying that to the kids, and I thought, do you know what, I need to use my own mantra and take a risk. So I handed my resignation in February, not knowing what I was going to do, just thinking that the universe will sort itself out and something will come up. And would you believe it did? By Easter, I had found this shop in Long Melford, fell in love with it, even though I had no clue of knitting or fabric. And just thought, you know, it was in the crafting world, and I'm a crafter, I'm an artist as well. So it was kind of that, in my head, it was the similar world anyway. And yeah, 4 years later, I'm still here and absolutely loving it. I've never looked back.
Amazing. Now, your shop is full of beautiful and, to me, mysterious things. But can we... You have all sorts of fabulous wool and some beautiful pieces too.
I've got a whole range of wool for different people, really, because some people like knitting with wool and some people don't, because, you know, you can remember back to those sort of jumpers you used to have when you were little and they were a bit itchy on the old skin, weren't they? So some people don't like wearing wool, so we have acrylics too. And you've got this whole current debate at the moment with the lifestyle and vegans not wanting or not wishing to wear animal products, so acrylics are good for them as well, man-made fibers. So we have a whole range of wools and of different price points as well.
And not just wool, Stuart, you've got...
No, we've got alpacas. Would you believe alpacas? I know, alpacas... their fur or their fleece, well, it's not really called fur or wool, it's a hair. Alpacas have hair, and their hair is softer than like merino wool. It is beautiful. So we've got luxurious yarn made out of alpaca. You have a scarf. or a shawl round your neck, or a bubble hat out of alpaca. Oh, that keeps you warm, beautifully warm.
I bet.
And we have garments made up in some of these wools as well, because you want to try and show off the wool. So I have a whole army of knitters in Long Melford, some lovely ladies who love to knit, and the skills that they have of, you know, cables. Can you imagine? Can you envisage the old-fashioned cricket jumper?
Yes.
With all those cables going up. Well, they can knit those, like, with their eyes closed.
Wow.
So I have a couple of ladies who are always knitting for me in the shop, and that's bespoke commissions. So if someone wanted a jumper, they'll knit for you. You buy the wool from us, they'll knit it.
Amazing.
And they make samples. So I've got lots of samples in the shop of their work, which helps to show off the yarn, and it helps to make, you know, because sometimes it's hard to visualize. You see this wool and you go, how does that look like knitted up? And then you see it knitted up. So I've got a whole range of, you know, some of these people have been knitting more than 50, 60 years. So the skills that they've got, you know, you can't put money on the skills they've got. And those skills are sadly dying out. So we're trying, you know, there are lots of new young knitters with the wonders of Instagram and YouTube. There are loads of new young knitters coming through who are picking up these skills, because they are quite amazing. People who sew and people who craft, those skills are, you know, timeless.
Now, not just wool, but we've got all accessories, wool accessories. I'm going there. Like, is that like knitting needles of all sorts?
Oh God, yes. All the haberdashery.
Okay.
I want a big shop. Can you remember those old haberdasheries that had those lovely wooden chests with the drawers that pull out? I'd like one of those. Sadly, I don't have one of
Gorgeous.
Those. But I do have haberdashery. So I've got loads of needles, and knitting needles have come a long way. No longer are they just the old grey steel sort of knitting needle. You've got coloured, you've got different types, you've got wood, you've got birch wood, you've got bamboo, you've got coloured needles, you've got carbon needles, square needles, would you even believe?
No.
Sometimes you can get pencils, circular pencils, or you can get different shaped pencils.
Yeah.
It's all about do they call it ergonomic? It's about the grip, isn't it? How you hold something.
Ergonomics,
So you can get so many different types of needles. We have a small selection that you can get from the shop too.
Now, next question, patchwork. Cool. You're a patchworker.
Yeah, I've only in the last 2 or 3 years taught myself patchwork because I've had to, because of the shop. So we've got a whole host of what we call quilting fabrics, 100% cotton in the shop. Most of it is American, because I didn't know this, but the Americans absolutely are besotted with patchwork. They've got a rich history of patchwork, huge patchwork quilts. So a lot of the fabric is American. But it's beautiful. I mean, the colours, the patterns, the designs. I've got a shop full of Christmas fabric at the moment.
Great.
Do you want a Christmas stocking?
You
can have your own Christmas stocking. and Advent. We've got Christmas Advent panels. They're all the rage. You make one up with the little pockets, and you put a little, you know, a little sweet
in
each
exactly.
pocket.
We've had those in our family, or Mark's had them in his family for how long? 50-odd years. Amazing. And they are wonderful.
And the same one comes out each year? Or do you get a different one each year?
No, the same one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So we have loads of those, and we have lots of customers often knitting for new grandchildren. And I'm kind of, I've only been in business for 4 years, so I've had to learn the whole, you know, ropes of what sells, how to sell. But I've soon realised that actually I've got this sort of market who are often making for grandchildren. So a lot of the fabric is child orientated for people making quilts, cot blankets, and wools for little cardigans or little hats. So it is children orientated, hence the advent calendars, because and it becomes ritual. You get that advent calendar out every year, and it's just a thing, and it becomes more and more, I think, important the older you get, because then you realise, you know, you look back on time and your family, and it's just got to be done every year. That advent calendar has to come out. Whether the prizes get more expensive the older you get, I don't know.
No.
You hear people now putting in iTunes, you know, those gift voucher cards.
Oh, good grief, yes.
Pop one of those in. It's a nice little present. Or back to a Satsuma, a lump of coal.
Well, the 24th, the 24th, pocket, if you like, rather than the doors.
Yeah.
That has to have something a little extra special in it.
Wouldn't it just? Mm. Yes.
Now, we haven't got much time left. So, Stuart, you're brilliant on YouTube. What's your YouTube channel?
So it's just use the shop title. So it's at the Wool Patch, or just go to YouTube and search. Today, unbelievably so, and this is no lie, when you're hearing this, we literally just went, we just got our 1,000th subscriber.
Ah, congratulations.
How cool is that? And you can look at us, you can look at the shop, you can see what we do, you can see me, you can see how small my shop is and how cozy it is. And I show off knitting that our customers make. We have can you remember Tony Hart and the Take Heart and his gallery?
Yes.
We have our own version of the gallery where we show off everyone's knit. Uh-huh. And that's like a 2-minute, nice slow feature where you can get a coffee and you can just see everyone's work.
Love
so
it.
It's a great celebration of what we do here in the shop. So, yeah, I would love it if you could go and have a look.
Brilliant. And your web address?
www.thewoolpatch.com. Don't forget the.
No.
Yes. And we're not the Wool Pack either. We're not in Emmerdale. Is it Emmerdale?
Yeah, you're right.
Or was it Crossroads?
No, Emmerdale.
Yes, we're definitely the Wool Patch because it's wool and patchwork. So you'll see our little sheep logo. She's got patchwork on her bum. So you can't miss us.
Stuart, you've been massively entertaining, and everybody go buy the wool and the fabric and the haberdashery.
We would love your support. There aren't many of us shops around now, so we would love your support to keep us going.
Thanks, Stuart. Have a really good Christmas.
You're very welcome. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Merry Christmas from the Suffolk Pod Show.
And now prepare for your taste buds to be tantalised and put your diet on hold for a few seconds, because it's Jo Comlin-Bone, co-founder of the Suffolk Hamper Company, and she's here to talk about her delicious Christmas hampers.
Jo, hello Jo, are you there?
I am here, yes. Good morning, how are you?
Extremely well. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Busy, but yeah, good.
Well, that is the most important thing at the moment anyway. Jo, can't wait to start talking about the Suffolk Hamper Company, but and also actually particularly what goes into those hampers. But first, you're not actually from Suffolk?
No, I was born in Yorkshire, brought up in County Durham, have lived in several places around the world, and then ended up in Suffolk about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And so what brought you here?
I got married. I married a soldier and moved to Colchester, and then moved. I didn't want to live in army quarters anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Moved out into the countryside and really enjoyed. So I've gone from being a city girl loving Jimmy Choo's to being a country girl and spend some money on horseshoes.
And how long did that transition take?
About 2 years. Yeah. I was very resistant to start off with, very resistant. And then I decided I really needed to get with the program. So I took some riding lessons because I thought this would be really good just to get me out in the countryside.
Mm.
And I'm never going to own a horse, and I'm never going to jump a horse, and I'm never going to compete a horse. And I do all three now.
No, oh my goodness. Wow. Okay.
So life changed. Life changed.
Clearly. Now, this year has been a bit difficult year for you.
Yes, it's been, I think for everybody, it's been a really challenging year where we've all had to do things in a completely different way to how we've ever done them before, and especially when we don't have family and friends around. I worked in travel. Travel industry has been decimated by COVID, and so I needed to find something else to do. I was made redundant in July, like a lot of people, when the furlough system came to an end. And my small company that I work for couldn't afford to keep me on the salary I was on. So it was time to find something new to do.
Mm.
And I did.
And you did. And
very,
you
did. Very quickly.
Very resourceful that you are. You are three of you, I understand.
There are three of us. This all started with a chance conversation while I was actually mucking my horse out.
Mm-hmm.
So Carla, who owns the equestrian centre where I keep my horse, had said to me she'd been having a conversation with a friend of hers, and they fancied doing some hampers for Christmas to go along with the Christmas wreaths that they do every year, both of them being trained florists. And I said, ooh, hampers? That sounds like a really good idea. Hang on a minute. Let me just go and do some research. I'll come back to you the weekend. So that was the Thursday.
Yeah.
I spent the next 48 hours blogging at just about every hamper company I could online, mm-hmm. seeing what was on Facebook, on Instagram, went back to the girls and said, I've got this idea. And the name's available at Company's House. And they looked at me and I went, what name? I said, the Suffolk Hamper Company. Mm-hmm. And that's where it started. Mm. It was as simple as that. It was a chance conversation. Then it was a case of, how do we work it? Mm-hmm. What do we do? What do we put in? Where do we get our products from? And the obvious answer to that was right round us. We've mm-hmm. all used local suppliers all year. We've had fruit and vegetables delivered by farmers. We've had meat from local butchers and local farms. Everything that we have done, the three of us, has been local. Mm. And supporting as many small businesses as we could ourselves through the first 6 months of lockdown and the, you know, the resulting COVID pandemic. Mm. So we decided we wanted to keep that going, really, because if we were supporting small businesses that way, was there a way to translate that into what we were doing with the hamper company? And 75% of the producers that we work with are local producers. We have had to go slightly further afield for one or two things. Mm-hmm. We've taken cheese from Cheshire, mm-hmm. from a small artisan provider up there. We have crackers that come from Stornoway, again, because we couldn't find anything at this point in time that matched their quality, mm-hmm. and were packed in such a way that they would be able to travel. Mm. But then we've, you know, everything else is local. Our wines come from 15 minutes drive from my house. Mm. I literally drive past the vineyards every day. That was the inspiration for where the wines came from. We wanted really good cheeses. We wanted really good jams and pickles, mm. chocolate even. Mm. And it's all local.
And that's what it's all about. So you've basically gone full circle.
Yeah.
I think it's
totally
brilliant.
Full circle.
Yeah. So what, can we talk about what's in those hampers? More specifically, real descriptions, because it's lunchtime and I'm hungry.
Real descriptions at lunchtime. Yes. So we do have a wide range. We do hampers that include food and alcohol. We have an alcohol license. Mm-hmm. We have hampers. We have hampers for dogs, for horses. We've got Christmas hampers. So we do a whole range. Mm. The food particularly is, if we haven't tried it, it doesn't go in.
That's a good policy.
We're getting horribly fat by doing it.
You have to test everything before you sell it on.
Well, absolutely, because if somebody asks us what something is like as they're trying to make a decision, especially when we do bespoke hampers, how can we try and describe something if none of us have ever tried it?
Quite.
So cheese and pickles arrived.
Yeah.
And we opened a jar of chili jam, tomato and chili jam. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them out there in the marketplace. We opened these jars of tomato and chili jam, and very soon two of them had gone. Because not only was there the three of us there, but then kids were coming in from school, partners were coming in from work. The cheeses went, the crackers went, and the jars of chili jam just disappeared. We've had to restock on them, and they're arriving tomorrow, because we've sold them all. And I think we've sold them all to family and friends.
I'm not good. Surprised. Not surprised. I think that's lovely. And you talked about chocolate, specifically coming from, is it Bury St Edmunds?
Yes. So we are working with Marimba World Chocolate. Mm-hmm. It's made here in Bury St Edmunds. I've eaten chocolate from a lot of places around the world, having lived in different countries. Mm. They do a great selection. They do everything from giant chocolate buttons to chocolate thins, hot chocolate that's made from chocolate flakes.
Oh, my.
Yes. Now, once you've actually tried it, it's really difficult to want to actually have chocolate powder. Instant chocolate just doesn't cut it anymore. And everybody said, but you've got to frost the milk. Well, you've got to warm the milk, but you can do that in the microwave or in a pan, and most people have those. Mm. And then you add the chocolate flakes and they melt. And it makes the most divine hot chocolate you have ever tasted in your entire life. I did a hamper for a gentleman who works with City of London Police, and it was for his parents. His mom hadn't been very well, gave him this hamper, off he went. I get a phone call saying, that hot chocolate can I get any more of it? Can I get it in a larger quantity? My father absolutely loves it. I've never seen anything like it. I've just got him a kilo of chocolate to send him.
Oh, wow. I think I could go through a kilo of that quite quickly, though, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, you could. And especially with the chocolate things. We also have pink chocolate from them, including ruby chocolate bars, the ruby chocolate flakes for the hot chocolates, mm-hmm. And an Eaten Mess chocolate thin. So it's a thin layer of chocolate mm-hmm. with strawberry and meringue in, and it's pink. And it's another one of those things that you can't stop eating. You really can't stop eating it. I love chocolate anyway, but this is dangerous.
Yeah. Well, I'd like a hamper of that for Christmas, please. So do you do...
I'll
send you some over. No, I'm only joking. So specifically, if someone was a particular chocolate fan, they can just have a chocolate hamper. You make bespoke hampers, I presume.
We do make bespoke hampers. In fact, I would say there's at the moment about 70% of what we do is bespoke. Right. We have hampers on the website, but we do say, you want to change anything or you want to contact us, please do, and we'll do this bespoke for you. We did a Chocoholics hamper, which we've put on the website, and it has the hot chocolate melts in, bars of chocolate, chocolate thins, and we also put a bottle of bubbly in there as well. I've got a smaller version that I've just done for somebody this week, which is just a box of chocolate, basically. Mm. It's every chocolate that we can possibly put in there, we've put in there.
Sounds lovely. Can we move on from chocolate to another favourite subject of ours, which is gin?
Oh.
You've just sourced some really lovely gin from the heart of Suffolk. Amazing.
We have. Well, we've got two different suppliers now. I've just signed another one up. Mm-hmm. The majority of our gin comes from a company called Tiny Tipples.
Okay.
They use local grown fruits. In fact, some of it is grown in their garden.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is grown on their allotment. Other comes from local farmers. And it's used to make the flavours. Now, they do gins and they do a vodka. They do brandy and they do whiskey as well. Mm. But the gins, I discovered them at the Suffolk Show a few years ago, bought them for myself and bought a load as Christmas presents for people. So I know that they go down really well.
Mm.
They do an amazing strawberry and basil gin. Wow. And it's not something that I would have ever thought of before. Mm. I always think of sloe gin and damson gin and things like that, which they do. But the strawberry and basil is a really nice, light gin as well. And it's really refreshing in the summer.
What would you...
Really refreshing.
Normal straight tonic with that?
I actually use sort of the Mediterranean tonics that come from some of the larger tonic suppliers that you can get out there. Regular tonic, it goes well with it as well. It depends on how much flavour you like and the depth of flavour that you like. I've got a friend who actually hates tonic with a passion, so she has it with lemonade.
Ah, okay.
And that makes a really nice light summer drink as well.
Now, I'm seeing here, is this a thing, marmalade gin?
Oh, that's the new one.
Okay.
That is a new one. We're working with a company called Simon's Table. In fact, we've only just started working with them in the last week. Mm-hmm. And we have marmalade gin from them and shortbread.
Mm-hmm.
Two shortbreads, a regular one and a marmalade one, and they melt in the mouth. And having tried those, we decided, let's try the gin as well and see if we can work with the gin.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy orange gins out there. There's a lot of orange gins on the market.
Mm.
But the depth of flavour that is in this one is amazing. It really does taste like orange marmalade.
Mm. Sounds absolutely, absolutely delicious. Now, we haven't got forever, so I definitely want to talk about Lilliput's puddings. We go on. There's just more and more and more. What are they?
Lilliput's puddings. We were looking for a supply that would actually do gluten-free as well as ordinary puddings and wanted to keep it as local as possible. So Lilliput's is a company that's based in Chelmsford. She's been going for about 5 or 6 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The puddings that you get from her are really light, loads of flavour in them.
Mm-hmm.
So we looked first at the Christmas puddings that she did, thinking, oh, we'll just have Christmas puddings from her and have a variety so we can get vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free and a regular Christmas pudding and in different sizes. But she also does lemon, sticky toffee, And when they arrived, it was another one of those cases where we all tried them and wouldn't put our spoons down. Mm-hmm. And we were fighting over the different puddings. They also do sauces that go with them, including a brandy butter.
Oh, no.
None of us like brandy butter. Well, none of us liked brandy butter. The jar was empty by the time we finished the puddings. It was really, really good. It's one of those things. A lot of people don't like Christmas pudding itself, but these are really light. They're not as heavy as a lot of Christmas puddings out there are. They just have a really nice, lighter texture. There's no peel in them. It's just fruit. I think over 50% of the pudding itself is made up of fruit. Mm. So they are really good.
Yeah, they sound it.
It's a great job, this.
It sounds like it. And lastly, you mentioned your tomato chili chutney or jam, sorry.
Yes.
And what other, I just want to have a quick, do you do pickles and other sauces as well?
They do. We have from them, we have a habanero and garlic sauce. We have a ploughman's pickle. Mm-hmm. We have a damson and port jam. Ooh. We have a really, really nice raspberry and amaretto, or even a strawberry and prosecco jam.
Delicious.
That we get from them.
Delicious.
They're made on the Norfolk Suffolk border as well. So really local. Everything is done very fresh again. All the fruit is supplied by local farmers or from their own allotments. It's all small batch. Neil and Becky are brilliant to work with because they're local as well. They bring it down to me. So they're dropping off tomorrow a whole new range of things that we haven't had before. So there's some new things to come this week on the website.
Oh, very nice. And some more testing around your kitchen table, no doubt.
Some more testing around the kitchen table. Absolutely.
Joe, we've got to close now, but can you tell us what your website is, please?
The website is www.thesuffolkhampercompany.com.
Lovely. And like we said before, bespoke hampers, which are also carefully wrapped and eco-friendly. We didn't mention that, but we do know that.
Absolutely. We try everything we try and wrap in. We try and make it recyclable and recycled. There's a few things that we obviously can't when it comes to the cooked meats and things. We have to have them properly wrapped because they're perishable items. But we have sourced cellophane bags that are recyclable. And also we have some cellophane bags with some products in that can actually be composted as well.
I think that's very brilliant. Important. It is. It's essential. Jo, thank you so much. Mark and I would like to wish you a very happy Christmas to you and all of your family. And thank you for taking part.
And thank you for having us. We've really appreciated being on your show. And me and the girls wish you all the same as well. Have a fabulous Christmas to you and all of yours.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Next, it's Toby Leeming talking about his family business, The Master Herbalist. This unique and boutique company sells exquisite drawliners and other naturally inspired gifts. And welcome, Toby. Hello, Toby. How are you?
I am very well. Hello.
Hello. Toby, we're going to talk to you about your business today, The Master Herbalist. Yep. Something very different, but extremely popular. How did all this begin?
Well, we have made products for a lot of gift shops. And, you know, if you go to Bath and you buy their stuff, we'd make all of their kind of gift shop stuff for them. But gradually, as the high street has disappeared, we've taken a few of the products that we made for other people and started to sell them direct to customers. Mm-hmm. And one of the most popular products that we had, and we had a bit of a niche in, is scented drawer liners, would you believe it? And so we've sort of riffed on that theme and kind of expanded into the world of fragranced home stuff while we consider the sort of revamping the brand gradually over time, which we're doing at the moment.
And you're not going to change the company name, or are you?
No, the company name is cracking. Yeah. I think we've got to find. I like The Master Herbalist, and it gives us a chance to do what I'd like to do more of in future, is kind of all natural herbal products that I believe in. I studied sciences, and I'm not, you know, I think homeopathy is a sort of utter, you know, nonsense. But I do believe, as somebody who's taken a lot of prescription medication in my time, I do think there are a lot of herbal products out there that do have efficacy and are very good, and you know, so focusing on that. And actually we do, one of the things we do at the moment is moth herbs, but they are, you know, when you get those sort of stinky mothballs that we sort of remember from our youth, they're kind of they're from made from pyrethrum, which is this rather noxious chemical, but there's actually a natural version, the pyrethrum daisy, which is an old Chinese thing. And we have these moth herbs that use the original all natural daisies as moth repellent. So it's that kind of thing, taking herbs and things in the real world that do actually achieve what you want them to do. So that's the plan, is to kind of expand on that theme.
Now, talking about drawliners, I think they're beautiful. I've always loved them. My grandmother has always had them in every drawer possible, and but they're really practical things apart from looking great.
Well, I mean, the fragrancing. So, I mean, I remember we used to have sort of old copies of newspapers, which does have a nostalgic bent to it. These look rather smarter. They are, but we fragrance them. So we've got lavender scented and sandalwood and various other fragrances. So now lavender is French lavender derived. And we've also done a new product where we've blended it with neem oil, which is a neem essential oil. Which we got recommended by our aromatherapy house, and that is an anti-moth agent as well, but an all-natural one. And so the idea of the scented drawliners is they'll make everything smell and look nice, and then you compare it with wardrobe fresheners, and they're natural too, and they kind of do what they say on the tin. But we've also then expanded into the world of wipe clean drawliners, which to stop your kitchen getting all mucky, which I know ours is at the moment. I've got some dark soy sauce over one of the whole cupboards to prevent disasters such as that, or children ruining whatever, you know, drawers they can get their hands on. Rather handy. We currently have them under the dog bowl, under everything that our daughter touches. So who knew? Who knew? Multi-purpose.
And they're beautiful too. I think you've got some William Morris prints.
Yeah, we do. We've done a few. This is William Morris, is Pinks and Roses, a sort of famous print from the William Morris collection. And so we do that in a few different colours, and also in scented and unscented. So that's a very popular, our most popular, in fact.
Are you still doing bath products, soap?
Well, less so now, predominantly because, no, that's fine. The supermarkets have sort of annihilated that market, and people like liquid soap. And I think, you know, it's a difficult world to compete in. So we're kind of doing the home fragrance. But what we will be doing is more, you know, exploring that afterwards in a coming years, doing it in a new version, I would have thought. It depends, you know, we try and source everything, or everything in the company is sourced in and made in the UK, kind of complies with all the EU allergen free stuff, you know, so you've got to choose your products wisely, because you can't compete with various things coming in from overseas. So that's our sort of general outlook on things, is make it good and make it locally.
And that's what we're about, basically, is, you know, you are here in Suffolk. And if people are looking for that, they should buy locally, support local businesses. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Well, indeed, and ideally directly through us and not through Amazon. We do sell on Amazon, but we've got a website, Simply Drawliners, which is easy to remember. And we also have the Master Herbalist, and so people buy on that. And yes, we ship from just south of Bury St Edmunds in our little, very boutique warehouse, which is in need of a bit of a revamp. That's the next on the list. But
so just, Toby, what's the, can you just give us the full web address, please?
Yes, I can. It is simplydrawliners.com, and I'm very proud as a web geek that if you just Google Simply Drawliners, I think we should come up top.
You do, in fact. Even if you put drawliners in, you come up.
I know. Yeah, I'm quite chuffed. That's been an ongoing battle between me and Google for a while. So,
you beat Google. Well done.
Wow, I know. I played their game.
Listen, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much for telling us about that. And we hope you sell lots and lots of draw liners, obviously, but also more importantly to you guys, have a lovely, lovely Christmas.
Thank you, and you. Nice to speak to you.
Okay, bye.
A Merry Christmas from the Suffolk Pod Show.
Finally, we are delighted to have Alistair Turnbull, who runs Turnbull Turkeys, a family-owned hand-reared turkey farm in the heart of Suffolk, and he's here to tell us all about the history of the farm and the incredible quality of their work.
Hello, Alistair, and a warm welcome to the show.
Hi, Susanna. Thanks very much for inviting us onto the show.
Well, it's really good to have you, actually, because in my infinite wisdom, or rather not, I've never realised we had Suffolk turkeys. I've always heard the phrase Norfolk turkeys. So my whole thing has changed. So thank you. guys, we want to talk to you about your wonderful turkeys. But first, I think we need to talk about your mother and where it all began.
Yes, it goes back several years. Approximately 60 years ago, my mother, who was a farmer's daughter, decided that she wanted to diversify even back then, and had a few turkeys on the farm, and reared them for Christmas for a local butcher who'd expressed some interest, basically. And he let her down at the last minute, and there she was with these turkeys at Christmas that she had no market for. So basically she managed to sell them to friends, family, and anybody else she could. And so next Christmas she got a bit more interest from the public and had a few more. And yeah, the rest is history, really. We've grown gradually from there. I've been back in the business about 30 years now, and we have increased it slightly, but the whole ethos of the business is sort of quality, not quantity.
Whereabouts are you?
We're in Gosbeck, which is a small village north of Ipswich.
I know it.
And yeah, I'm the third generation on the farm.
Yeah.
And yeah, a mixed family farm.
Yeah.
So we've got a bit of arable and we do the turkeys and a few other things as well.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to you a bit more about that in a second. So third generation, so you the farm's been running since the war?
Yes, it has, yes. Yes, my grandfather took it on. We're actually tenants on the Hellingham estate, but he took the tenancy on and the tenancy has carried on. And my son has now come back to the business in about 18 months ago. So that's exciting.
So that is.
Yeah, long may it continue.
And yeah, long may it. So now turkeys, you started, I think turkeys is your main produce that you rear on the farm.
That's right.
I'm going to ask you a peculiar question, but I have no idea the life of a turkey or whatever. So I just wondered if you could tell us about when they're hatched and how you look after them.
Yeah, well, we take delivery of them. Well, I'll start off by, we order them in January, ready for the Christmas market. We take delivery of them in mid-June as day-old poults, where we have to keep them in small buildings, keep them nice and warm. And then after that, approximately 5 weeks, they then go out into large straw-bedded buildings. And then a few weeks after that, they're onto the free-range grass, and they're free there to forage all day. And we then feed them. We grind our own wheat and mix the food for them. And mix a few other things with it to get the balanced diet. And so there they are, out on the free range, and come in at nights to have their other food as well. And then obviously they're approximately about 24 weeks old when, you know, we come to slaughter them for Christmas, which is, you know, far longer than some of the frozen turkeys, put it that way. So, you know, our turkeys are that much older, so they're more mature, they've got more texture, more flavour, and that's what people are paying for.
Yeah, exactly that. When we have this description of a bronze, can you tell us what that means? Is it I've always thought it was the colour of the turkey, and that can't be right.
Well, it is actually.
It's
the cross between. I mean, when my parents started, there wasn't such, you know, there was the white turkey, which was sort of more of the, you know, the mass-produced bird, if you like. So then it was crossed with a black, and the bronze was then introduced, if you like. So it's a cross between a white and a black turkey.
And they are the best?
I would like to think so, yes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And chickens too, you must have chickens.
Yeah, we do chickens, you know, for the Christmas market. Again, lots of age with them, slower growing than the mass-produced chickens. Some of those we're free-ranging, some of those we're barn-rearing. So, yeah, anything. The demand for chickens isn't quite like it used to be. Mm-hmm. But there is still a demand for a good sized chicken at Christmas, because you can always buy the smaller chickens during the year. Mm-hmm. And we do specialize in the larger ones, which people prefer on their Christmas table.
No, they do, because not everyone is a turkey fan, are they?
Well, I mean, that's right.
But I think for smaller gatherings, which let's not hope has to be the case this Christmas, do you do sort of turkey joints and things like that?
Yes. Yeah. We do the turkey crowns, which are basically the breast meat on the breastbone. We do the turkey breast roll, which are the breast meat taken off the bone and rolled. We also just do the turkey breast, which is just the breast cut off, which is popular with the very small gatherings. I mean, the other thing, there is talk of this season, you know, with people wanting smaller birds, but we haven't noticed it, particularly with the orders that are coming in so far, so that's good. And also, there is so much you can do with a turkey. It's not just for Christmas Day.
No, it isn't. To be honest, it's my absolute favourite meat.
Yes.
And it's one of the most healthiest.
Well, that's right. It is. Yeah, it's very healthy. And, you know, buy a bigger turkey and loads of cold meat, curries.
You've mentioned it, the turkey curry. You've got to mention the turkey curry, because that's always around New Year's Eve, isn't it? And it goes,
that's very true. So, you know, if you can make full use of your turkey, it's jolly good value for money.
That's the way. And stock, and then you can go on and keep going. I mean, yeah, of course.
That's right. Yeah.
How do we buy turkeys from you?
Well, we have the website, which is www.turnbullturkeysorry.co.uk, or you can give us a call on our landline number, which is 01473 890760, or you can email us on turnbullturkeys@bdinternet.com.
There it is. And so, I presume we can't actually, we'll take delivery around the 23rd, 24th of December.
Yes, we only have collect at the farm, so we don't do mail order. Okay. We don't actually deliver the birds out. But so, yeah, all our birds are collected from the farm here at Cosbeck. But yes, predominantly most of them go out on the 23rd, 24th, apart from a few of the business and farm shops. The bigger customers come and collect them a little bit earlier.
Yeah. And it's also a chance that we can actually meet you, I presume.
Of course, yeah. I mean, we're all hands-on. Yes, the whole family gets involved. So, you know, there's my mother and father and my wife and my son and my daughter. So anybody who can help get roped in. And, of course, you know, it is good to meet all our customers. I mean, many of them have been coming for over 40 years and haven't even missed a year. Yeah. And then we've got new customers who come for the first time this year. Yeah. And it's good to meet them all.
No, it's wonderful. And like I said earlier, you know, I've always thought in my head, Norfolk turkey. But it's Suffolk. We're in Suffolk. We must buy Suffolk turkey. So there you are, Turnbull turkeys, everybody.
You don't need to go over that border to buy a turkey.
Well said, Alistair, well said. Right, we're going to leave it there, and we want to say thank you very much for coming on the show, and we wish you and Julie and everybody a really happy Christmas.
Well, thanks very much, Susanna, and a Merry Christmas to you and all your followers at the Suffolk Pod Show.
Thank you, that's lovely. Speak to you very soon, Alistair. Thanks, bye-bye. Okay.
Thanks very much, Susanna, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us on the Christmas Suffolk Pod Show. We hope you enjoyed listening, and don't forget to look out for more Christmas editions.
If you'd like to be involved in any of our shows, or you're interested in setting up your own podcast series, please just get in touch. We offer a wide range of podcast services. Just visit podtalk.co.uk. Thanks for listening to the Suffolk Pod Show. Find us on Facebook, Twitter or Instagram, or you can visit our website podtalk.co.uk. And here's our disclaimer.
The Suffolk Pod Show will not be held responsible for any omissions or errors in its podcast.
The Suffolk Pod Show is produced purely for entertainment purposes. Views and opinions are that of our own or that of our guests.